Hello and welcome to Books by Old Dead Guys. I'm David.
And I'm Scott.
And we are in episode number 74, moving through Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices by Thomas Brooks. So Scott, you want to catch us up to where we've been recently?
Sure. We're in a section that Brooks wrote about Satan's tactics to keep us from, for lack of a better way of putting it, keeping us from doing the things we ought to do. Mm-hmm. You know, those, he calls them holy duties. Now, we hate the word duty as much as we hate the word obligation, but there are certain things that as Christians we ought to do. And so what Brooks is after is to help us see the ways in which Satan draws us away from those. This particular device, of which we're getting ready to see some more remedies, is that what the enemy does is he basically shows us, he calls it the dangers, the losses, and the sufferings. So how difficult it would be to live in obedience and what that obedience may cost you. And so far, Brooks's general MO has been to say it's going to cost you a lot more to not obey than it will to obey, and the enemy is deceiving you. So I'll be interested to see if that kind of that trend continues as we move through.
Mm. Well, we'll start on remedy number four. The fourth remedy against this device of Satan is to consider that God knows how to deliver from troubles by troubles, from afflictions by afflictions, from dangers by dangers. God, by lesser troubles and afflictions, doth oftentimes deliver his people from greater, so that they shall say, "We had perished if we had not perished. We had been undone if we had not been undone. We had been in danger if we had not been in danger." God will so order the afflictions that befall you in the way of righteousness that your souls shall say, "We would not for all the world, but that we had met with such and such troubles and afflictions. For surely, had not these befallen us, it would have been worse and worse with us." Oh, the carnal security, pride, formality, dead-heartedness, lukewarmness, censoriousness, and earthliness that God hath cured of us of by the trouble and dangers that we have met with in the ways and services of the Lord. I remember a story of a godly man that as he was going to take shipping for France, he broke his leg. And it pleased Providence so to order it that the ship that he should have gone in at that very instant was cast away, and not a man saved. So by breaking a bone, his life was saved. So the Lord many times breaks our bones, but it is in order to the saving of our lives and our souls forever. He gives us a portion that makes us heartsick, but it is in order to the making of making us perfectly well and to the purging of us from those ill humors that have made our heads ache and God's heart ache and our souls sick and heavy to the death. Oh, therefore, let no danger or misery hinder thee from thy duty.
Okay, so what he's saying here is that sometimes God delivers us from greater trouble by giving us trouble. Right.
Yes.
So for sure, there may be times where there is suffering and affliction that follows with doing that which the Lord has given us to do. But in many cases, those things that we experience in those sufferings are far lighter or better, if you will, than the suffering that we'd experience had we not obeyed, had we not followed. By far, the thing that I'm most excited about this section, however, is it gives me the opportunity to do something, David, that I don't think we've gotten to even do in this book. Are you ready?
What is it, Scott?
Ding! And now it's time for the Puritan word of the day. The Puritan word of the day is censoriousness.
Mm.
Censoriousness. Here's what the Cambridge definition of censoriousness is. It says, often criticizing other people. Related words, ridiculous, aloof, astringency, derogatory, hypercritical. So someone who has a hypercritical spirit. And so used in his sentence, it says, "For surely had not these things befallen us, it would have been worse and worse with us." In other words, the damage of not obeying would have been greater had God not afflicted us in obedience. And then he says, oh, and he goes through the sin list. The carnal, security, pride, formality, dead-heartedness, lukewarmness, censoriousness, and earthliness that God hath cured us of. So God cures us. One of the things that he says here that God cures us of through obedience is a hypercritical spirit.
Mm.
Interesting. So censoriousness, hypercritical.
This has been
the Puritan word of the day. Ding! All right, there we go. One of these days, we're going to get sound effects.
We are.
We are going to be dangerous people.
High techie. We're going to be one of these days. All right, so remedy number five. The fifth remedy against this device of Satan is solemnly to consider that you shall gain more in the service of God and by walking in righteous and holy ways through troubles and afflictions, though troubles and afflictions should attend you, than you can possibly suffer or lose by your being found in the service of God. Godliness is great gain, 1 Timothy 6:6. Oh, the joy, the peace, the comfort, the rest that saints meet with in the ways and service of God. They find that religious services are not empty things, but things in which God is pleased to discover his beauty and glory in their souls. My soul thirsts for God, saith David, that I might see thee, thy beauty and thy glory as I have seen thee in thy sanctuary. Oh, the sweet looks, the sweet words, the sweet hints, the sweet joggings, the sweet influences, the sweet love letters that gracious souls have from heaven when they wait upon God in holy and heavenly services, the least of which will darken and outweigh all the bravery and glory of this world and richly recompense the soul for all the troubles, afflictions, and dangers that have attended it in the service of God. Oh, the saints can say under all their troubles and afflictions that they have meat to eat and drink to drink that the world knows not of, that they have such incomes, such refreshments, such warmings that they would not exchange for all the honors, riches, and dainties of this world. Ah, let but a Christian compare his external losses with his spiritual, internal, and external gain, and he shall find that for every penny that he loses in the service of God, he gains a pound. And for every pound that he loses, he gains 100. For every 100 lost, he gains 1,000. We lose pins in his service and find pearls. We lose the favor of the creature and peace with the creature and happily the comforts and contents of the creature. And we find and we gain the favor of God, peace with conscience, and the comforts and contents of a better life. Ah, did the men of this world know the sweet that saints enjoy in afflictions, they would rather choose Manasseh's iron chain than his golden crown. They would rather be Paul a prisoner than Paul wrapped up in the third heaven. For light afflictions they shall have a weight of glory. For a few afflictions they shall have these joys, pleasures, and contents that are as the stars of heaven or as the sands of the sea that cannot be numbered. For momentary afflictions they shall have an eternal crown of glory. It is but winking. And thou shalt be in heaven presently, said the martyr. Oh, therefore, let not afflictions or troubles work thee to shun the ways of God, or to quit that service that should be dearer to thee than world, yea, than thy very life.
Mm. Yeah, so you gain more than you lose.
Yes.
Right? That now, we have to, it's probably worth explaining that, because there's a big difference between him saying this and what you hear in, for instance, like the prosperity gospel preaching that you hear on television.
Yes.
Here's what Brooks is not saying. I've heard well-intentioned people say things like this in the church, and I bet you have too, that they'll talk about, let's take tithing. Let's pick something that's not very controversial. That's a joke. So he will, so you'll hear somebody say something like, I was hesitant to give, and then I gave, and then the next thing you know, I got everything back, all of it was given back. And then I got even more. And then we'll take it a step farther. I think there is a
I think there's a sincerity when the saint, especially one like in our church or somewhere like that, would mm-hmm. say that. I think that they're saying, ultimately, my God will supply all of my needs according to his riches of glory in Christ Jesus. Praise yes. the Lord. But then you translate that and you hear it on, you know, a national broadcast from some guy in a $5,000 three-piece suit.
Yes.
Who will be trying to convince you to give money that you don't have to a church of which you are not a member. And if you just will do this, then you will find yourself wealthy and blessed and abundant, and all these things will be given to you. That's what we're talking about here.
Yes.
That is not true. It is a lie from the pit of hell, and one of the devices that I would add in to Brooks. Brooks wasn't really fighting the prosperity gospel in his day. Mm-hmm. It's really a main battle for us. But what he's when he says that whatever we experience, we will gain more, he is thinking, firstly, internal spiritual gain, not yes. physical gain. You know, it's the gain that you have when you have an opportunity to serve someone and you do at great cost or great sacrifice, and then you see the Lord use that and do something magnificent with it. There's something in our soul that sings, right? It's the Spirit confirming, it was good that you did this thing. You should have done this thing. It's you know, for us, it's calling. It's recognizing that God has built you to do a thing and you simply must do it, like that you have to do it. You know, those are the things, firstly. Secondly, when he talks about the wealth, as he would say, that we gain, he's not talking about earthly wealth. He's yeah. talking about what Paul says when he says that the things that we experience here are light and momentary afflictions when compared to the eternal weight of glory.
Yes.
That it's all the things that await us. And so, you know, so he ends with the martyr's quote that just a blink and it'll be over. And there's the picture is, what are you investing in? That's what he's saying. To continue on in obedience, to continue on and do the right things, our holy duties, as he says, to live life that way, to live life God's way, is to reap these rewards in eternity that are so great that we can't even imagine them. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the picture. So it's really important to understand, he's not saying life's going to be better for you here because you've obeyed the Lord. In fact, the testimony of thousands of martyrs throughout church history would tell you that the literal opposite can be true. Mm-hmm. You know, whoever wishes to gain his life here, says the master, will lose it. But whoever loses it for my sake, he will find it. And so, you know, Jesus's kingdom is upside down. Mm-hmm. And it's gaining by losing. It's being willing to lay our own desires, our own wants, our own free time aside, so that we will do those things that he's set our hand to do, and in doing so, trusting and believing that the rewards that we receive in eternity will be unbelievable.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Because there's only one set of riches that last past this life.
Yep.
You know, there's this, the riches of this world are temporary and fleeting, and they just don't last.
Yeah. So he ends this, all the remedies to this device, by reminding us, you know, the gain is greater.
Yes.
But it's not immediate.
Yes.
And that's the difference, right? That we're an instant gratification sort of culture. Mm-hmm. And so it's good for us to read a book like this and to be reminded, you know, the rewards are greater, but you're probably not going to see them tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, and I've seen that. This year is my 10th year being here. And it's given me so many opportunities to reflect and think. And man, I was sitting in the house of one of our saints today and just hearing him talk about what the Lord's done in 10 years in his life and how much change the Lord has brought, and communing with this man over the scriptures and thinking, you know, this is not at all where I thought I would have been 10 years ago. Like, mm-hmm. I just to see what the Lord has done in this guy's life and how the Lord's changed him and prepared him for eternity, and especially over the last year. And to think, you play a long game, but it's not just ministry, it's life. You play yeah. a long game. And when you do, you live in obedience. Sometimes God, you know, he cracks the window of eternity for you, and then he lets you see a little bit of what he's up to. And that's really awesome. But you do that realizing, man, I don't even see the whole. I'm not aware of just a sliver of what God is up to. So my job is to put my hand at the plow, put my head down, and be obedient and live and do what he's given me to do. And over time, when I do that, from time to time, I get to see how he's working, but here's what I know. If I do that for my life, I'll be found faithful, and then I'll get to see him for eternity. And seeing him is far greater than seeing his work.
Yeah.
And so he's trying to, it's like an argument. This time it was almost an argument from lesser to greater. Man, do you even know what you're saying? Like, do you even realize when you fall prey to this temptation that the evil one gives you to say, man, it's really going to be painful for you to be obedient. And you realize what you're giving up here?
You realize what you're surrendering.
Look at what you're losing. You know, you're losing this opportunity to lay aside the things that encumber us, mm-hmm. and to run the race pursuing Jesus, right? That's the work. It's not about how little of Jesus you can get in you and still get to heaven.
Yes.
That's not what the Christian life is.
No.
It's how much of this world can I shed myself of so that I am more and more conformed to the image of Christ over time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good section.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Well, that has been an episode of Books by Old Dead Guys. If you enjoyed this, if you think other folks would enjoy it, feel free to share it on whatever social media platform you happen to use. And we'd love to get this in front of more folks who could benefit from it. If you want to learn more about Slater Baptist Church, the church we're a part of, you can find out more information about us at slaterbaptist.com. And until next time, we'll see you then.
Goodbye.